Well, greetings to you this morning. It's very good to be here with you. It's been a while since I've been here, and so it's always good to come back. A lot of memories float around here, this part of the world, the last 20 some years. You know, things change, and churches and people and lives and families, and there's one thing that never changes, and that's Jesus. He never changes, so we're grateful for that. Let's pray just here this morning before we go into the Word. Father, we come to you and again just ask that in your simplicity and your holiness, you would reign here supreme this morning. And would you teach us again today? Would you encourage us? We want to be strengthened and encouraged from your word today. And just help me to say things that need to be said and things to be understood the way they need to be understood. And pray for an anointing of God on our ears this morning. Keep us in Jesus' name. Amen. So greetings from Wisconsin and the church there. We're just another one of those that face battles just like you do, and just very normal people. But we find God to be sweet, and He has been good to us. So this morning I do want to encourage you. Be an encouragement to you, and I trust that the words that I have to share will be. You know, I don't know many of you. There's a lot of new faces here from when I was here before. It gives me a freedom to just speak and not worry about anything. You know, I can just say what's on my heart, and we can trust God to just fill in the blanks and take care of you. So we'll try to do that this morning. You know, the world we live in is pretty confused, and there's a lot of difficulty. There's a lot of trouble that goes with that. But many times it goes, some of those feelings, and things that are difficulties that you face, they come right into church life. They come right into relationships. They come right into right where you are, right where we live. And there are there's challenges that come. The enemy comes from many different directions and angles. But fortunately, God didn't leave us alone. He didn't just let us alone to struggle and find our own way and just make it the best we can. He's given us instruction. He's given us words. He's given us principles that work. And we're grateful for that. You know, it's the Word of God is alive, it's real, it's powerful, and it still works after all these years. And that's what we're here. That's why we're even, if the Word of God wouldn't work, if we didn't have it as a real part of our life, you know, most of us would have given up a long time ago. Because there's other fish to fry. There's other things to do. But for the Word of God is powerful, and it still is a living, vibrant Word. You know, as believers, one of the things that, you know, that I think of, a scripture came to my mind just, this morning as I was sitting here out of Romans chapter, very familiar scriptures out of Romans chapter 12, where he says, you know, be not conformed to this world. And then the very next phrase, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That means, as a Christian, you will be thinking differently. You'll be thinking differently from the rest of the world. The principles, the way you do business, the way that you relate to your families, the way you, everything about your life, you will be doing differently because your mind is to be transformed into a different way of thinking, a renewed mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So all of a sudden, here we are as believers that have come to the Lord Jesus, and we find ourselves in situations that maybe are less than ideal, and our flesh maybe wants to respond one way, but our renewed mind comes in and Christ says, no, this is what you need to do. This is where you're going to go. This is the way that I want you to go. This week I was reading in Isaiah, and I noticed there that this is one of my rabbit trails. I wasn't going to go here this morning, but but here I am. And he says he's giving us the bread and water of affliction. And then in the next phrase, he says, but I'm not going to remove your teachers or the bread and water of affliction, the trials, the difficulties. I'm not going to remove all of these from you. You're going to learn from them. We're going to learn from where we are today with a mind that Christ has renewed. So if you find yourself in a difficult spot, you know, you find yourself going through trials, whatever it is, you know, God probably or very possibly doesn't always just remove those and take them out of your life just immediately, even though we would like them sometimes to be removed. He says, I'm going to renew your mind. I'm going to give you everything that you need to walk through this thing. And at the end of the day, you're going to be blessed. You're going to be encouraged. You're going to be made more like myself. You're going to be made more like Jesus. You know, what a blessing. You know, and I know what it's like to go through some difficulties, some trials. And I also know what it's like for God to come alongside and encourage and strengthen and renew your mind. In 1 Corinthians, if you would turn there, I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians, I'd like to read a few verses there in the very beginning of, as we think about this renewed mind, this mind that thinks differently. And you know that as a believer, it was mentioned here this morning that if you go outside of Lancaster County, outside of the community that you live in here, you look different, you act different, you are different. And, you know, it's not just that you maybe look different, but as a believer, you are different. You are different because of your renewed mind, because of your thought patterns. You're different. And the world is not always, you know, world is not your friend. You're just a different person. Then he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, he says in verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Remember, we have a renewed mind. You know, and God is, you know, and probably when we got saved, there was a portion of renewing and, you know, miraculous, a change of heart that happened, but I believe that God is also continually renewing our mind. God continues to show us. I don't believe that it's necessarily just a one-time thing that maybe happens back when you got saved and all of a sudden your mind is totally renewed. I find that God renews and deals with my heart as we go. And I might be the slow learner, you know, on the block, but He directs us daily, and we have a different thought pattern. And so now he comes on and he says, but we don't war after the flesh. We do fight. We do fight a battle. We do fight a war. But it's not after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringeth into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Now I'm just going to stop there and turn to, you know, just to a bit to set the stage now of where I'm going. You know, we hear a lot over the last year. One of the things that I've pondered a lot is I've been hearing a lot of things about people that are carrying hurt. I hear a lot of talk, a lot of conversation about the pain in a person's life. No one likes pain. You know, I physically, I don't like pain. I've had a lot of pain in my life, and I'm one of these fellows that if one or two pills are good, three or four are probably better. Because I don't like pain. None of us like the pain and the hurt that comes our way in life. But it does come. There are things that come our way. Yet, it's one of the reasons I believe counseling centers are full. The psychology abounds. And continually we talk about pain and about hurt and about wounds, you know, that have happened. And, you know, if all of us are honest with ourselves, we have to acknowledge and we have to just say, yes, these things have happened to me somewhere. I've had someone say harsh words about me that didn't feel good. You know, we realize that. But yet this morning I want to again go back to what does Jesus say? What is this renewed mind telling us? How do we walk and still keep our head above water, so to speak? How do we possibly go through these things and not allow them to just weigh us down? Now, I want to be very clear that there are the types of abuse and wounds that come to an individual. You know, maybe someone that was abused as a child or something, and you had very little to say. You were innocent in a matter when somebody did something to you, you know, and you had nothing to say, and you really didn't have a lot of input into it. You were hurt. You were abused. You were, you know, some way violated. You know, I'm not talking about that this morning. And I know those are very real things. And I want you to know that this morning as I'm speaking, I'm not referring to those things, but I am referring to the things that happen to you as an adult. Us that we know what's going on around us. We know what's happening. Yes, we sometimes get confused, but how do we walk through these things? There is a way. God did make a way, and there's way too much of those kind of things that happen, but it does happen. The Bible says offenses will come. These kind of troubles are going to be out there. We cannot avoid them always. They do come. And, you know, somewhere, you know, I still think of the passage in John, you know, John chapter 16, where he says, yes, that tribulations, trouble is going to come your way. But he says, I have overcome the world. You know, and this morning my point is going to continually bring you back around to the place where I want you, the best key that I can tell you in this world of hurt, in the world of pain, in the world of struggle, is you have two choices. Either you're going to focus on the hurt and the pain in your life, or you're going to focus on Him. And I want to take you back to Him time and time again, if I can. It's so important. Most of you have seen times when someone has been offended and been hurt and things have taken place in their life, and very quickly they begin to speak things that are painful to someone else. They begin to say things. That's why the abuse many times ends up being an abuser. And I want to take your eyes this morning and take it off your whatever that was in your past, though sometimes you have to go back there. Sometimes you have to go back and see that. But, you know, this morning I want to just, again, lift your eyes heavenward towards a renewed mind, a renewed picture that sees Christ, that sees Him for what He is. You know, surely He has carried, you know, our sorrows. Surely He had borne our griefs. You know, He's felt and heard the same things that you hear. He struggled with the same things that you struggle with. He was called, He was ridiculed. He was called all kinds of names. People spoke evil about Him. Some of the people that were closest to Him, you know, turned their back on Him and spoke very harshly against Him. Still in the middle of all of that, you know, He didn't sin. He didn't fall. You know, he led an upright life. He lived a life above sin. You know, so this morning, that's where we want us to go. You know, if we would just think a bit of, in Ephesians chapter 6, he gives us the picture of the whole armor of God. Let's just turn over there for just a minute as we're considering, you know, this, the method, the considering what God has for us here and how he wants you to live with a renewed mind. And in verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 6, he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord." You know, and this is not in your own strength. This is not in some kind of psychology. It's not in some kind of step A, B, and C. This is be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." I'm going to stop there. And going to think a little bit about this armor that God has given us. This armor that he starts about, he says we're to put on the whole armor of God. Notice it's a package deal. You know, God didn't leave us just halfway covered with what we have to face. He gave us an armor that works. He gave us your loins to be girded about with truth, the preparation of the gospel of peace. And then in verse 16, he says, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." You know, and I'm thinking, notice there in verse 16 that he says you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And, you know, in verse 12, he just got done saying we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. You know, recently at home, someone, as we were talking about some of these things about the hurt and the pain that gets talked about, that is very real to people. There was also several that said to me, "What are they really talking about? You know, what is this pain that people are talking about?" Well, these didn't necessarily experience a lot of difficult times yet, and so I began to just encourage them in ways to avoid, ways to live your life with a renewed mind that avoids a lot of this pain, a lot of this struggle. So really, the key to avoiding some of these things is much the same as dealing with these things once they've happened to you. And you don't, in most of these cases, you don't need a 10-step program. You don't need a 10-step program. It's difficult at times. I've struggled myself, you know, just dealing with this feeling and this attitude, this thing that's gnawing at my heart. So much of what I'm going to share with you this morning is very simple, and it's things that I have just learned myself, you know, that God has allowed me to live in as I have walked and dealt with these things in my own heart. And, you know, one of the things I would find in verse 12, let's just get this down real simple. You know, I find the Bible is not complicated. That's why he just explains things that we can all understand. Verse 12, he says, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood." You know, one of the things that God has taught me that I always need to recognize when something is said to me, when something comes my way that has the potential of really burning. You know, I remember this renewed mind. We have to think differently. You know, I have a choice. Am I going to take that thing into my life, or am I going to use the shield of faith and defend myself, you know, and protect myself? You know, am I fighting against this individual, or is this actually a spiritual battle that's taking place around me? You know, and I determine in my own mind to believe that, you know, this brother, this neighbor man, whoever it is, what he just said to me, he is not my enemy. You know, can you just wrap your head around the fact to realize that this man, whoever, whatever this is, he's not your enemy. And there's times when I've argued with myself because it didn't feel good. Something didn't feel right inside. But yet I knew that my wrestling here, the struggle that's going on in my heart, is not against flesh and blood. There's an enemy that wants to destroy me. Yes, he may or may not have said the right things. You know, we're not talking about that's a sermon for another time. But the fact is that he is not your enemy. You may disagree, or it may be about a line fence, or it may be about the, you know, whatever, you know, just a host of things that go through our minds here. But you know, if you can choose to believe, life is full of choices. If you remember what we read here in 1 Corinthians, or there in 2 Corinthians 10, where he talks about casting down imaginations and high things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. So many times we have to make a choice. And I want to encourage you this morning, make wise choices. Choose wisely and choose quickly. Ephesians chapter 6 gives a picture of a man that has this shield. You know, he's equipped with his armor. He has his helmet. He has his legs are shod. He's protected. He has this shield that he holds in front of him. You know, and the enemy is shooting darts. Boom, boom. You know, they're just coming at you. And he has this shield. He's moving this around from one side to the other. You know, and these darts are just falling to the ground, you know, as the enemy shoots them. And they may be from a friend of yours. You know, I've gotten some darts that I thought were from I'm like, wow, I thought this from a friend. You know, how do we need enemies when you have friends like this? And, you know, they're just falling. You know, sometimes I find that we use this shield of faith and our belief system, our what God has spoken to our hearts, you know, and the faith of the gospel, trusting Jesus, and we use this shield, and these darts are just falling to the ground. We're successful. There they lay there burning. They're laying on the ground, you know, burning, and we put the shield away, and we hold it back, and we start to relax, you know, and all of a sudden we reach down and we just take up one of those fiery darts. The one that just bounced off of our shield. And there we take that thing and we take it into our heart. We take it into our, you know, we begin to think what he said, how he said it. And all of a sudden, you know, and then we're going back to Proverbs. Can a man take fire? No, that was a slightly different context, but I believe it's the same thing. Can a man take fire into his bosom and not be burned? You know, can you take a hold of those things and expect to be unscathed? You can't. And so many times we let those things come and fall off, and then we decide to pick them up again and look at them. And that is devastating to you. You won't get by. You know, you'll get burned. So I want to encourage you, think, make wise choices. Make wise choices. You know, and some of you, as you're sitting here this morning, especially some of you young people, you know, younger ones, you may not have experienced a lot of hurt and pain in your life. But if you make wise choices in this part of your life, if you choose to very quickly take control of the thoughts of your mind, you know, don't let yourself be in those places. You know, by God's grace, choose to turn away from those things. those thoughts that come that will set you against someone very quickly. You know, those will begin to, to hold you captive. You know, then we begin, as soon as you pick that thing up and you start looking at it, then we have to start to formulate thoughts. We go down this thought pattern. And Christ in us, remember, thinketh no evil. So it's a renewed mind. Again, we have to remember, Christ, if He's in us, and He's all about 1 Corinthians 13 that we just talked about. He doesn't think any evil, and He doesn't imagine the worst against His neighbor. Yes, and sometimes something was maybe meant to be hurtful. Choose quickly what you're going to do with your thoughts. I had to think of two people this morning. Number one, Jesus. He's the best example of while hurts were happening. You know, He's on the cross. He's being nails, or at least up to that point, nails were driven through His hands and His feet, and a tremendous amount of suffering that already took place. While this is happening, this is in progress, remember. In progress, being nailed, being mocked, being ridiculed, being beaten. And there He is, and Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. While this is happening, and I found in my life, that it is crucial. It's very crucial. If someone does or says, or you are in a situation that is potentially dangerous to you, potentially that, attitudes can show up and bitterness is going to come and Lord knows what all can happen. It is crucial while this is happening that your renewed mind is making choices. I choose to forgive. I choose to release. I choose to just let go. And it is difficult at times. Again, as a young person maybe here today that hasn't really had a lot of experience, I encourage you, practice forgiving. Practice releasing. You'll find yourself going through life when you're older, like some of us, and there's a few others in this room older than I, and you will find that it is incredible blessing to you to be able to just release quickly. I'm not much of a fisherman, but some of my sons were up in northern Minnesota recently, and they went fishing with a few of their cousins, and anyway, they said when they got home, they showed me some pictures of some nice fish. And so I said, well, who cleaned these fish? And what did you do with it? Well, we had to release them. And I'm like, you catch something this big and you have to release it? And they said, yeah, it was too big. If you get them when they're too small, you have to throw back. And if you catch them when they're too big, you have to throw them back. And they determined that they're all in that size. And you catch and release. You just catch and release. And people do this for fun. To have freedom, to have joy, to have rest in God. It's sometimes in the Christian life, it's catch and release. We see this happening. We just give it to God. Now, it's not that easy. I can make it sound easy, but it's not that easy. Things hurt us. Things, they come and they like, oh, ouch. But I just want to tell you, just let it go. Let it. Now you can't just let something go. You have to give it to somebody. If you just decide in your heart, I'm just going to mechanically let this thing somehow go, it just stays in the back corner of your house somewhere. It's covered. You don't want to talk about it. You'd rather not go there. That's not really letting go. But choosing to forgive. And I don't mean just choosing to forgive. I want you to walk in forgiveness. I want you to walk that way. Learn to walk in forgiveness. It's the best way. You learn to walk in forgiveness, and all of these things that just come your way, you'll be able to, you live your life that way. It doesn't have to be hard. It doesn't have to be so complicated. You know, notice he said, cast down imagination. Take the thoughts captive. That's action on your part. That's something that you have to do. That's a choice that you have to make. Notice, and I think of the word of when you cast something down, you get rid of it. I don't want any part of this thing. You throw it to the ground. You know, and that's where we need to be when the imaginations of our heart. You know, all of you know what that is. You know what imaginations are. And mine really works good. Sometimes mine works too good. But, someone says something to you, and it just has maybe a flavor of, whatever in it. And pretty soon we're thinking, I wonder why he said that. Why did he say it that way? Well, pretty soon you start answering your own question. Well, he said it. He must have said it this way because he meant this. Oh, well, if he meant that, he must really feel that I'm this way, And your imagination just begins to blossom. You feed it. It grows. And very quickly, you can have a huge scenario that's cooked up in your mind. And it's really, really at the very core of it, it's something just very small. But our imagination just can run with us. So that's why he says, cast down imaginations. Don't let it happen. Throw it away from you. Don't just begin to imagine things, especially evil things. Remember, love thinketh, not just speaks, thinketh no evil. So we have to go down back to discerning what God wants us to do or what God wants us to say. How what God wants us to be thinking. Because so much of this battle gets fought in our mind and we make our choices accordingly. And many of these choices, if they are not released, if they are not forgiven, then the roots begin to grow into frustration and anger and eventually bitterness. Thereby many be defiled. And so here we are. We have these things that are taking place. And now we have choices that we have to be making. Sometimes we say, I've heard, people tell me, I encourage them to forgive in a certain situation, and they say to me, well, he didn't ask for forgiveness. Guess what? Sometimes they don't ask for forgiveness. But you know what our responsibility? Very quickly, choose to forgive. It's a blessing when someone comes to us and says, I'm sorry. I failed. I shouldn't have said it that way. And that's your responsibility this morning if you've done that. If you've sinned, it is our responsibility. But that's not the message this morning. We're not dealing with that angle of that piece of the pie here this morning. But it's so nice also to have someone come to you and say, I'm sorry about what I said, and you can, in your heart, you can say, I forgave you 10 years ago already. It's already taken care of. What a blessing. And I've had that happen in my life where something hard took place, and I made the choice of forgiving. I made the choice of releasing, and I went on with life. And sometime later, the individual came back and said, I'm sorry. I was living in peace and forgiveness for a lot of years already. It's a choice of our heart to just live. And I believe that's what the Lord Jesus would have us do. You know, especially locally. You know, someone said to me recently that they said, as Anabaptist people, they said, we're very quick to forgive when there's a Nickel Mines situation. You know, the shooting that took place. We're very quick to forgive. We can release and forgive them pretty quickly. But those next to us, those close to us, we have a hard time forgiving. And I pondered on that for quite a while. And I thought about, because you know the wounds of a friend. And some of us have had very close friends that have turned against us at one time or another for whatever, and they've said hurtful things. And, you know, I know there has to be people in this room that have experienced some of those things. And it's hard. It's very hard when those things happen that are very close. But oh, the joy when we just come to the cross, you know, and we just come in full release and forgiveness. You know, I know of one particular time in my life when I faced a very, very difficult situation. And, you know, physically, a physical situation, you know, where I was beaten up. And I had a hard time. It was very difficult for me. And yet, from the very first day that this took place, you know, I let this individual know that I forgave him. And I really did from my heart. Although it was difficult for me to do so, I was still fearful. I didn't sleep very well for several nights. I was, because I don't like getting beat up on. And yet, a year later, almost to the day, a year later, this individual came back, you know, to me, and he said, I knew that you forgave me from your heart the day this happened. And he said, it's been eating me up for a year. And he said, I just want to come back and say, I'm sorry. It was such a blessing for me. I was just so scared that day. I was, you know, I all of a sudden he showed up and he wanted to talk to me. And I was like, are we going to relive this thing or what's happening, you know? And instead he just came to me and he just said, I want to give you a kiss right where I landed the first blow, you know, and he gave me a kiss. And he said, it ate me up that you forgave me. And I was so free because I had forgiven him a year ago already. And I didn't carry this thing with me. Just a choice, even though it was very hard to do. And I was afraid and a lot of things, but I just managed to let it go and give it to the Father. You know, and I want to just to make sure that you understand that it's this. I don't believe this is, I am not at all trying to encourage you to just somehow, you may need to talk about some of those things that hurt you. You very possibly do just need to share your heart with someone and talk about it. Don't just put it under the carpet and don't pretend that it never existed, because it happened. It was a real part of your life. It was a growing part. It was some of the bread and water, the adversity of affliction that took place in your life. It's real. It's okay that you have some feelings about that. So we're not burying those things. You may need to go to a brother or a sister and, you know, and let them, someone know that you're struggling. But then go to our Heavenly Father, the one that heals. You know, there's a huge move I find across the world, the U.S. right now, on miracles. They want the miracles. We want to go somewhere where God, you know, does all these miracles. I think most of it is cooked up emotion of some kind. But, you know, it's miracles over here and miracles over here. And that's what they're looking for. I don't know about you, but one of the biggest miracles that I find is when someone has been wounded and hurt and abused is able to forgive those that hurt them. That's a miracle, and that's only God, because in our flesh, I tell you, we can't do those things. In your own strength, we just cannot. But when we take them to the Father, it's a miracle. When God comes in and He just floods us with peace. And He gives us rest in our souls. You know, He still says, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden. You know, we could put in there, come unto me all you that have pain and that have hurts and that have been wounded somewhere. You know, and I'll give you rest. And I know that especially on church levels, sometimes these things happen. You know, and it goes many other places. You know, I just want to encourage you, go to the Father. He is our healer. You know, He brings the balm of Gilead into our souls. He, and somehow together as a body, we're able to, you know, as we talk to each other and we pray for each other and we lift each other up, God comes in, you know, and He begins to pour grace into your life. You know, but some of the things that I've done with the pain in my life, I've taken some of these things to the cross. You know, I go over here and I tell God all about it. And I give these things to God. And then when I turn around, I can pick that thing right up and put it in my back pocket and take it home with me. And I can talk about it some more. And there's no rest for my soul. There's an enemy that wants you to keep those things alive. Take every thought captive. You know, the enemy wants you to just brood on those things. And he wants to set you free. You know, he just wants you to go forward. You know, and I find so many times the things that have happened to me that when someone said something that caused some pain in my heart, I think most of the time, probably 99.9% of the time, probably no pain was intended. Nobody even wanted to cause pain to me. You know, and when I finally got to grip with that, I realized that, you know, sometimes, you know, you notice even Jesus said, forgive them because why? Because they don't know what they're doing. They didn't know this was hurting. Have any of you said something to somebody that hurt them and you didn't mean to? Every one of us have. Somewhere we've probably said something hurtful we didn't mean to. You know, if you're anything like me, you say something, you have a conversation, and then you drive home, and on the way home you think, why did I say it that way? Why did I say it just that way? You know, we say things. We do things to each other right here in this circle. We say things that probably don't always minister grace. But we didn't mean to. It's just the way, it's just who we are. Maybe it's your personality. Maybe it's whatever. We say things. You know, when you come to a place where you realize, this is again using casting down imaginations and taking every thought captive, You establish in your mind that someone, this person or these people, they're not intending to hurt you. It makes it much easier to forgive. Makes much easier to release because you have already decided, they're not my enemy. They're not trying to hurt me. Now, there are cases where they do try. And that's very sad. It's very sad when that happens. Choose to forgive. Another case was found in the book of Acts where Stephen was being stoned, and you notice he said something very similar to that. He said, Father, lay not this sin to their charge. Don't do this. Don't lay this to their charge. They're killing him. The rocks are coming. The pain is being inflicted. And he's just looking at the Father and he's saying, Father, don't hold him guilty. He was walking in forgiveness, even to death. Huge rocks. You know, big things that were inflicting pain. The pain is real. It hurts. It comes. But I don't want you to get stuck there. You know, and I don't know, and I'm not even sure why I preach this here today. I preached this at home a week ago, I think, or 2 weeks ago, and my wife couldn't be at services that day, and she said, "Well, I didn't get to hear you preach today." And I said, "Well, maybe another time." And, you know, when Brother Mose called, I asked about it, the Lord just said, "Talk about that. Preach that again." You know, and I don't know, you know, why or how or who, any of these things. I just want you to walk in forgiveness and peace and rest. And, you know, I have no individuals in mind whatsoever today. I'm just being mindful of God. And I want you just to know that, you know, as a body, you know, Satan will do anything he can to try to destroy you. He doesn't care how he does it. He doesn't care what happens. He just wants to destroy God's people. And if he can inflict little bits of pain and hurt and things on a body level, it's devastating. But if you have already established in your mind, my brother or my sister is not out to get me. He doesn't hate me. He's not out to get vengeance against me. If he says something that hurts, it's not because he's wanting to hurt me. Establish that already in your mind. You know, if it's not true, you know, then there's other issues that need to be dealt with. But if you think your thought patterns are already going that way, life becomes so much easier. It's so much easier. It's such a blessing. Do what Jesus did. You know, and maybe you might say, well, Brother Darwin, this happens over and over and over again. You know, the disciples went to Jesus and they said, "Do you mean I have to forgive this guy seven times if he sins against me seven times in a day?" And Jesus just popped their bubble, you know, and he said, "No, how about 70 times seven?" Wow. Now we're talking lots of times that we get to forgive. You know, it's what Jesus is really saying is, wrap your mind around the fact that you're walking with me and your eyes are on me and not on him because he's imperfect. Walk in forgiveness. Walk in grace. Walk in love. Don't start focusing on your brother or your sister. Don't do that. It'll start eating on you. It'll start just eating on this relationship that you have or don't have. You know, sometimes even it's good for you to realize, you know, many times because an individual often hurts when they've been hurt, it helps me a lot when I forgive to realize that this individual probably has walked through some really difficult times himself, is why this is happening. So it gives me a burden to pray so I can, someone says something, I realize that his struggle is probably real for him because of his past and what all has taken place in his life. He deserves to be prayed for. He deserves I spend some time thinking and praying and caring about his soul. You know, and when our hearts, it's not the way of the flesh. In the flesh, we want to grab a hold of our weapons. We want our rights. We want our ways. But that wasn't what Jesus said. You know, Jesus gave up his rights and his ways. And, you know, he said, "I only do the will of my Father." And that's what we want. You know, that our heart is the same. That we only do the will of our Father. Father, forgive them. Because they don't know what they do. They didn't know, many of them at the time, they didn't know that they were crucifying the Messiah. They didn't know that this was salvation to the world. They hated a man because he was opposing them. And because of for who he actually was. Jealousy and their self-righteousness. Colossians chapter 3. Let me just turn to there yet quickly. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. You know, Maybe verse 12 I'll start. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, willing to suffer long. Boy, sometimes it feels long, doesn't it? Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And you know, it's not an option, you know, in the Church of Jesus Christ as a believer. It's not an option but to forgive and to release. You know, and this, the hurt and the pain that we talk about will diminish as we experience that and we continually go to the Lord. We go to Him. You know, our focus has to shift. You know, you've seen people that are workaholics. You know, all they do is think about work. They're driven by work. They work from early in the morning till late at night, weekends. It's what they talk about. It's what they think about. It's what they dream. It's about, it's work. You know, it's just, and we look at them and we're like, he's a workaholic. That's all he can do is work. You know, it's, that's what we need to be with Jesus. Maybe a Jesus-aholic. You know, we need to think about Him. Our thoughts. The way we do things. How we respond to people. What we do with our feelings. You know, I'm a person that tends to just bury my feelings. I don't say much about them. I can just kind of drop them and not go anywhere. But they're still there. We still have them. We're real. We're people. You know, and I don't always, that doesn't mean they're not really dealt with. They're not really taken to the Father. But I'm talking this morning about taking control of our thoughts. Taking those things captive. Things come your way. Take them to Him. You know, there's relationship issues between, you know, parents and their children and their parents. You know, they struggle through their youth years and there's this rift between mom and dad and the children. Things are not so well at home. Then they go on into married life and raising families and all these things. And they're still bringing this stuff. Well, dad, you know, dad this and dad that, you know. And pretty soon this thing is going on into, they have teenagers and dad is, it's still well, dad. You know, it's not just well, dad. Dad is not your enemy. Yes, dad may be full of mistakes. He may have done it all backwards and inside out. But that doesn't mean that we don't forgive him. Dad cannot be the focus. Or we go through our entire life focusing on the one that failed. We need to be focusing on the one that never fails. The one that we can take our problems to. You can take dad's issues and give them to God. And you choose to release and to forgive and you go to God. You know, as you walk with him, you know, all of a sudden you find that the person that hurt you, dad, way back there, whoever it was, he's not your enemy anymore. Because you found yourself walking in forgiveness. And you raise your family, you go on with your life, and it's not about dad anymore. It's about him. You know, it's about Jesus. It's about a renewed mind. It's about a different thought pattern. We study books about a lot of different things about life. You know, we say we're non-resistant as Anabaptists, and we are. You know, we don't go to war. We don't go to Iraq, you know, and fight with a gun. We don't go do those things. But, you know, we fight sometimes with our thoughts. You know, we're not as non-resistant in our thoughts as we think we are, as we say we are. And I would, I just want to encourage us, let's carry these doctrines through to the end. These doctrines are the doctrine of non-resistance, for example, it's a very, very It's a very valuable doctrine. It's a part of a belief system. It's part of the shield of faith that you hold up. It's part of the belief system that you have around you that protects you, that enables you to fight against the fiery darts of the wicked one. But we need to let that the whole concept, not just one thing that I mentioned this morning, we need to let that permeate our thinking. It's beyond going to war. It's beyond going to Iraq. It's the way that you live to your brother or your sister right here in this room. It's how we respond to our husband and our wife. It's how we deal with life. We live it that way. We don't respond. We don't resist. We would rather be taken advantage of than taken advantage of somebody else. It needs to be a core part of our belief system that we have in our heart. It's part of that renewed mind. You know, if we don't always think that our mind is renewed, and you know, we go back to the Father again and we ask Him, Lord, renew my heart. Renew my mind. You know, that's why we sing that song, create in me a clean heart, O God. Because sometimes we find that the renewing of our heart, our thought patterns, do not always want to go the right way. That's why 1 Corinthians chapter 10, there our second comes in again, where he says, I want you to take these thoughts captive. It takes action on your part. You have to make a choice. You have to do something about it. You can't just go through life and lollygag your way through and think that everything's going to be okay. Then you end up having this room full of hurt. You know, I can forgiving, and I am blessed, although I struggle with sometimes with forgiving, I'm blessed for the most part. I'm able to forgive pretty quickly. But there's been times when I told my wife, I said, am I for sure? Am I really for sure forgiving? And I said, what if I'm 80 years old someday and all of a sudden I open this door and all these bad things come out that I just buried in there? But you know, if we go to God and we really take these things to the Father, He gives us peace and rest in our heart. And you know what it's like. You'll know what it's like to walk in forgiveness. You know, one time I did a job for someone. Working on a barn. And at the end of the job, the lady wasn't satisfied. She thought I should have done something else that was not in the contract and so on and so forth. So she said she refused to pay me. And I did everything I could and she still refused to pay me. So I was a little uptight. I didn't walk in forgiveness right away. Some years later, I just kind of put it off and I didn't think about it. You know, probably 5 years down the road, while God began working on my heart. This was back in probably 96 or so or 7. And God began, He brought this thing to my attention. Do you remember working for this lady? Yeah, I do. And I knew right away there was feelings of unforgiveness that were still in my heart. So I'm thinking about this thing. I told the Lord, yeah, okay, I'll work my way through this thing. That night I went to Walmart. I went down one aisle and I just turned the corner and there she was. You know, and the first thing I did, I turned around and I went down the other aisle. You know, and 3 times I met her in the store that night, and each time I just quickly turned around and I went somewhere else because I didn't want to see her. I didn't want to talk to her because she had hurt me. She had misused me. You know, and I went that evening, I realized this person that misused me, this person that I didn't forgive, is really my master. She's chasing me all over Walmart. I think I'm the one in control. I think I'm the one that won. And she's, you know, I was just like one of those little magnetic puppies, you know, that you've seen. You know, just going in and out of Walmart because of somebody that I didn't want to talk to. You know, that's the way life is. That's the way it works. We think when we're not forgiving, when we're not walking in forgiveness, we think that we have this thing. I got this. we don't have anything. They've got us. And they're moving us. They're manipulating us in and out. You know, when I realized that, I made one phone call very quickly. And I apologized. I said, I'm sorry. Now, she never did pay me, and it's fine. But I apologized. I said, I'm sorry. I said, I've been bitter against you, and I have an unforgiving heart all these years. You know, I've met her many times since, individual in our community. And never the feelings. She doesn't chase me around Walmart anymore. You know, the feelings are gone. Because we release. We just chose to forgive. It's the way you live your life. Forgiveness is not this thing that you do or you buy or you just do it one time or this little formula. It's we live our life that way. Releasing and forgiving. And just picking up and not taking darts that, you know, they come our way. We fight them off. We hold up our shield of faith. They fall to the ground. Let them burn out. Don't pick them up. You pick them up, you're bringing a cancer to yourself. You know, you're just bringing trouble into your heart. Let them fall to the ground. You know, those things will burn out and die. They'll be history. Choose to take them to your Father. Take them to your Heavenly Father. God is so faithful. You know, when we forgive, He brings peace and joy. And lastly, Matthew 18, and I think in several of the Gospels, you know, He says, if we don't forgive, neither will your Heavenly Father forgive you. Staggering. Staggering to consider that if we don't live that way, we don't live in forgiveness. Neither will your Heavenly Father forgive you. Staggering realities. But God is faithful. Go to Him. And learn to discipline there. You're, you know, it's not all just about discipline, because it's not psychology and some kind of a step program. This is the work of God. It's the operation of God in your heart that He enables you, empowers you to live your life the way Stephen did, the way Christ example Himself, and countless people down through history that have suffered and died for the Lord. You know, some of that is physical. There's also some that were emotionally slaughtered. You know, and we're able to walk through those things in love and say, I choose to forgive you. I choose to walk in forgiveness. All right, this morning, if we can kneel, those of you that can, let's kneel and have a word of prayer just as I close here. Father, we come to You in Jesus' name. And Lord, I don't know, you know, all the reasons that You had me say these words and preach this message today, but Lord, You know. And I do pray that You would encourage the believer today. Lord, I pray that if there are those in this room that really have not suffered a lot of pain or hurt in their life yet, haven't experienced a lot of that, I pray strengthen them, God, and encourage them, Lord, and help them to wisely choose their life as to avoid these things. And I pray for healing and strength. Lord, for anyone in this room that probably many that have experienced hurts, have experienced painful words, painful attitudes, painful things that happen. Father, we choose to forgive. We choose to trust You. I pray minister grace and strength even today. You are faithful. I pray as we see You who You are, we want to honor You. We just want to lift You up as our all in all, our everything today. Father, teach us. Truly renew our minds step by step, day by day. Renew our minds so that we can see the way You see. Help us to see others the way You see others. Help us to see through Your eyes to know, Lord, how we need to respond. I pray for an anointing of God on every person here, anointing of the Holy Spirit in their life, Lord, to be able to walk, to make choices, to cast down imaginations, and to be able to release and forgive, and just to walk that way. What a peace and a rest that you want to give us. I pray for this body of believers here as they work together. I pray, would you protect them from the enemy, God, as he sends his darts their way, Father, to try to bring discouragement or whatever it might be. I pray, would you build them up and strengthen them in the faith? Would you protect them, O God? We commit them to you, and thank you, Lord, for the opportunity, Lord, to just be able to be with them here today. We say thank you. You are faithful, and we trust you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you as you serve Him and as you walk in forgiveness.
Thank you, Brother Darwin. That is a profound message, profound truth, the importance of walking in forgiveness. We appreciate the that emphasis there that you closed with, that it does affect our relationship with God. How we forgive others has a direct bearing upon our own personal relationship and clarity with God. I think one other thing that can be helpful for us when we're struggling with forgiving someone who's wronged us is remembering what Christ has done for us and how much He's forgiven us. Thinking about how much we have sinned against Him and what, and how in spite of that He has forgiven us, as it was referred to in that passage there in Colossians, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And then in Ephesians, that verse that we teach our children, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We think about how much we've been forgiven. I think it can help us to release others also. All right, well, I'd like to open it up if anyone has a word to share, comment on the message, maybe a confession, maybe you want to ask for prayer, whatever the Lord lays in your heart. If you raise your hand, someone will get a microphone to you. Carl in the back.
Morning. Brother Darwin, I know exactly why God led you to share this message here today. I know you couldn't know all the things that have gone on in my life in the past year. You and I have not talked unless you heard from other people. This has been the biggest struggle of my life ever. And just this week, I was in my car and thinking over the struggles that I've had, laying down these hurts. And you know, I know the things that you preached this morning. I've preached many of them myself in the past. And yet, I've come face to face with pain that I didn't know how to deal with. And I've tried. There's been many times that I've said, God, I make that choice to let it go. And yet somehow I'd find it coming back to me again. And I just know that God prepared the things that He laid on your heart for me today. And if the rest of you could get something out of it, I'm happy for you. But I know God had this for me. And today I want to choose to let go. And even as I say that, I'm still afraid that it'll be too hard. But I would just ask for your prayers for me. The false accusation and the betrayal and the slander and the gossip. And this by brothers that have been very close to me. And I don't think, like you've said, that they meant it in a hurtful way. I don't think they know what they've done in many ways. But yet, for me, it has felt worse than dying. There's a lot of times in this past year that I've felt it'd be easier to just die. And so today, I thank God for this message. I take it to heart. It's true. And I confess my need in this area. And I just ask for your prayers. If you would all pray for me, that God would help me to overcome and to be able to be free. I understand totally that thing of being chased around Walmart. It's funny, but I know what it's like. And I just thank God. And Brother Darwin, thank you for being faithful to what God called you to today.
God bless you, brother, for sharing your heart. Brother Harold?
Well, first of all, I want to bless you, Brother Carl. But God meant it for me, too. And something peaked just yesterday that I thought I had taken care of. I won't go into a lot of the details, but I had a charge, rumors and stories about me having a moral failure in Haiti. And this friend of mine, a close friend of mine, had called me some month and a half ago, and we talked. He told me about his hurts and so forth, and I understood. I told him, look, I have some hurts too, and they've come through you, but I've chosen to lay them down. And he said, well, he only told this one place, one person, but I found out that that wasn't true. He was telling many people. And then yesterday, I asked him more details, well, he can't say. Yesterday, another friend of mine came and gave me the details of his accusation, and it really blew me away because it was so far from the truth. And so I had to start dealing with that again. And then it was raining over at the auction, and I was in the tent where the displays were. And halfway through the mealtime, I decided to go across to get my meal. And as I was just starting to go out, up further, here I saw this man, this friend of mine, and I was glad I was going across for the meal rather than walking up, because I didn't know in my heart how to face him and talk with him. So anyway, it was raining and drizzling, so I had my meal, and I knew my vehicle was way up at the road, and I would get wet. So I didn't want to go back to that tent because I didn't know, I wasn't prepared to meet this man. So I just called Earl by phone and said, hey, it's drizzling and it's muddy. My car's way up. Do you mind if I just let you stay there with the stand yourself and I head on home? He said, no, he doesn't mind. And so I brought this before the Lord, and I was working on it, and now I trust that I have worked it on it completely. And I can love this friend of mine. I can love him and truly forgive him. I choose to do that. So thank you, Brother Darwin, for coming here and working and helping to bring about some healing on the very current situation. God is so kind. He's so good. He's so tender. And he's so right in all his ways.
Thank you, brother, for sharing.
Thank you.
Is the mic over here?
Me too. I'm very, very blessed to hear this message. And I was going to say this even before Brother Carr, that this message was for me. We have been through so much, but we have also been forgiven much. So that helps us. That helps me to overcome because of my forgiveness from the Lord. I was just in awe to hear this message. I needed to hear it so much. A message from a Darwin. That is incredible. I just know the other Darwin that is an unbeliever, but to hear a message from coming like that was so valuable. And I desire to help build our church. in as many ways that I can, more to walk it than to talk it. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, sister.
Thank you, Darwin, for this wonderful reminder that you had for us today. I remember years ago when we were growing up in our home that my dad always taught us stuff like that. It helped us all through those years as we were growing up and having children of our own. That I still remember my dad, that he never held grudges, and he taught us how to do it, and it's been with us. Even when my children were at home, then I was the one that griped and was bitter about stuff, and they said, "Mom, just let it go. It's okay. It'll prove itself. Don't try to be on our side or fight for us. It's okay. God will see what's true and what's not true." So that's what I did, and I let it go, and it has helped me so much that I don't carry it around. And my own children taught me how to forgive and forget. That's what I did, and I'm thankful that I heard it again, and I've been using it, and it has helped me so much that I don't carry grudges and just let it go. It's not that it doesn't come up sometimes, but it doesn't fester, and it doesn't hold me back from loving Jesus and knowing that things were like they were supposed to be. Okay, thank you again, Darwin.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Ephrata Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.